Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's Music Corner presents a song entitled Manusia Super or Superhuman. The song is a collaboration from two Indonesian popular musicians, namely Andy and Firsa Bersari, which was released in commemoration of National Father's Day in Indonesia. Released on November 12, 2024, this song is a special offering for fathers throughout Indonesia. The song Manusia Super describes the feelings of a father who often hides his tiredness for the sake of his beloved family. This song expresses the emotional side of a father who is willing to sacrifice for the happiness of those closest to him. The song is expected to touch the hearts of the listeners and show appreciation for the important role of a father. Through this song, Angie and Firsa want to remind that fathers also need support and appreciation. Well, listener, let's enjoy the collaboration of Angie and Firsa Bersari with the song Manusia Super. Let's check this one out.
Saat tawa ku buatmu tertawa, cerahkan hari-hari yang berat. Saat senyum ku buatmu tersenyum, mungkin ku sedang pura-pura. Hati ini tak perlu kau risaukan, toh cinta tidak butuh alasan. Lagi-lagi ku mengubur impian, lagi-lagi ku pura-pura. Laraku, marahku, sembunyi tak mau dirimu tahu. Bahagiamu adalah bahagiaku, ku pastikan selalu melindungimu. Katamu aku manusia super, setiap saat terlihat kuat. Tak pernah ku dirundung kesedihan, padahal aku pura-pura. Thank you. ahlinya pura-pura.
Inequality for women is one of the world's greatest injustices, but it is an injustice that must be and will be swept away. Tandy Newton takes up the story.
75% of parliamentarians are men. 73% of managerial decision makers are men. 67% of climate negotiators are men. And 87% of the people at the peace table are men. Even though we know that when peace settlements include women, the negotiations and outcomes are more durable. Globally, almost one in five women has experienced violence in the past 12 months at the hands of a man they know. Women and girls do three times as much unpaid care and domestic work as men. The global gender pay gap is stuck at 16%. Every year, 12 million girls are married before 18. All of this has to change. It's time to stop trying to change women and start changing the systems that prevent them from achieving their potential. And this is the battle that women in this century will not lose. They are too strong, and their voices will not be silenced.
I was named after a girl, an Afghani folk hero who was killed in a battle. Just after I was born, my father got our family tree. It went back 300 years, but not a single girl or woman's name appeared on it. He decided to make me the first. He wrote Malala. That's me.
When her father's school was closed down by the Taliban, Malala Yousafzai began to campaign for the rights of young girls across Pakistan to go to school.
I have rights. I have the right of education. I have the right to play. I have the right to sing. I have the right to talk. I have the right to go to market. I have the right to speak up.
They shot her in the head. She is still in critical condition.
She was airlifted to a military hospital in Peshawar, where she had said...
As surgeons battled to save her life, vigils took place throughout the world.
In this first photo released today, Malala's eyes are open and she appears alert.
Here we have some really good news to report tonight. Malala Yousafzai walked out of a London hospital today.
Today, it is an honor for me to be speaking again after a long time. They thought that the bullet would silence us. But they failed. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage was born. Today is the day of every girl who have raised their voice for their rights.
In 2014, at the age of 17, Malala Yousafzai became the youngest person to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Today, she continues to campaign for universal education for girls, but she doesn't want to do it alone.
My message right now is to young people. We are living in a world where things are not the way we want. We are getting a system, we are getting a world which is unequal, which is sexist, which is racist. We have systems that are discriminating against people. Our climate, our environment is at risk. And there's so much that needs to be done. But I hope that young people, they stand up, they raise their voices, they start their activism right now. Let your age not stop you. Oftentimes we're told that, you know, you have to be 14, 50 to change the world. I do not believe in that. I think you can be a change maker right now. If you are 11, if you are 16, if you are, you know, 30, 40, change is possible anytime. And I want you to believe in yourself and make this world a fairer, more equal, and a better place for each and every one.
Tandy Newton.
And once again, there are positive solutions that can turn things around fast. We need more women in positions of power at every level of government. The time has come for quotas that make sure women are equally represented in every country. It's time to make our laws equal so that every woman is entitled to a job and a national identification card and to own property. Women must be able to live free from violence and have the right to make decisions over their bodies and lives, especially in choosing if and when they marry. We must guarantee full access to sexual and reproductive health services and rights. We must provide the money to close the gap in girls' education. And there are important changes needed to achieve economic empowerment for women, from equal access to finance, to ending the gender pay gap, to equal access to the digital world, from mobile bank accounts to digital payment systems and digital education.
It just doesn't make sense. Women are half of the population, but society does not treat us as equals. This is a legacy that needs to change here and now, by changing our behaviors, but also by changing laws and common practices across the world. We must all make that happen, now.
Bagaikan angin surga, begitu nyata, bukan sekedar cerita. Ku hanya bisa diam beribu bahasa, aku tak mampu membendungnya saat yang begitu berharga.
Time. Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, well, listener. You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia here in Jakarta. Of course, still in Indonesia today. Thank you very much for all of you still join us here through www.inews.id and also RRI Digital. And of course, well, listener, the Indonesian government is actually considering offering free land plots to establish embassy complexes in an area designated as the diplomatic compound within Indonesia's new capital, Nusantara. Head of the IKN Authority, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, announced in Jakarta on Monday that he intends to present this proposal to President Prabowo Subianto. He also explained that the discourse on offering free pieces of land is directed towards encouraging and facilitating Indonesia's allies in relocating the headquarters of their diplomatic activities in the future capital city before 2028. And hopefully, of course, this information could be very useful for those of you, especially who are working at the embassy and starting to plan or perhaps choose. Maybe they can choose, right? So after the Basuki Hadi Mulyono presented this proposals to President Prabowo, and then after maybe he or actually agreed for the proposal itself, and maybe also the embassies and the ambassadors can also choose which part of land that they want to use as their headquarters in Nusantara capital city. Isn't that amazing? And I'm still going to be here, still giving you so many other wonderful infos and also great music to listen as long as it's not raining. I believe every kinds of activities that you have with your family, so your loved one or perhaps your co-workers will going well. So hopefully not what Utopia will say, rain.
of Jakarta City is an interesting tourism attraction. It has not only a lot of cultural and artistic heritage, but also has many beautiful and natural tourism objects that can spoil visitors' eyes. One of them is a multi-level waterfall called Grojogan Watu Purbo. Grojogan Watu Purbo, located in Dukuh Bangunrejo, Merdekorejo Village, Temple District, Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta, is also known as Grojogan Watu Purbo Bangunrejo because it is located in Dukuh Bangunrejo. Grojogan Watu Purbo has an unusual grojogan or waterfall, such as a six-level terracing and flowed by a series of small waterfalls. The waterfalls from the Krasak River. Grojogan Watu Purbo has actually been existing since 1975. Initially, this place was built because of the Merapi project, which built a dam to hold back lava flow when an eruption occurred. In this area, there is actually a grojogan or a waterfall on the left and right and large old stones. It is not known for sure the age of the stones. That's why it's called Grojogan Watu Purbo, which means ancient rock waterfall. Grojogan Watu Purbo is famous for its very beautiful scenery with six levels of towering waterfalls. The best view is seen in the morning when the sun rises, coupled with the chirping of birds greeting visitors. The rocks that decorate the river are also so exotic, it's ideal to be a stepping place when playing water. This place is appropriate for all ages. Visitors can explore every corner of Grojogan Watu Purbo and every level, and also sit on a large rock while looking at the beauty of Grojogan. You can also swim here and of course the mist-taking selfies. The best time to visit Grojogan Watu Purbo is the rainy season, but you should avoid it when the rainfall is too heavy.
Yeah.
such is Balinese dance, which uses sounds from the mouth. Without Balinese traditional music, it makes Kathak dance different from other dances in general. Kathak dance is performed by male dancers with Balinese clothes. Around 60 to 80 dancers sit in a circle and take turns in producing the sound of Kathak in order.
Hello listener, welcome to the Rhythm of the Indonesian Archipelago, a weekly segment introducing you to Indonesian traditional music and musical instruments from across Indonesia. This week, we'll invite you to know more about art and culture from North Sumatra, precisely to Tanah Karo, to know more about Gendang. Let's listen to Gendang Karo Rhythm. Enjoy.
Open wine ama padenami, nunga dibaik kamu godang dalihan natului. Asamar pangidua mahami, tangan mabotohon ujung nga jari-jari, jari-jari nai marsiga jangga-jangi. Adorak soni dokon jumulohami marsattabi, amang batara guru humudul, batara guru padapotang, namalo mangajari, jojor-jojor manuturi. Asamar guru hami tupatik niamata debata, baik damang majo godang batara gurui.
Thank you.
Listener, Karo Regency is one of Regency in North Sumatra province where the capital city is Kabanjahe. This Regency is located on Karo Highland, Barisan Hills of North Sumatra. In Kabanjahe or Tanah Karo, we will introduce you to traditional instrument, namely Gendang Karo. Gendang Lima Sidalinen is percussion instruments which consists of five instruments and played by five persons. The instruments are one penarune, two penggual, and two simalugong. It is called Gendang Lima Sidalinen because the sound of music is produced by five different instruments, namely sarune as an everphone, gendang indung as a membranophone, and gendang anak as a membranophone, gong, and penganak. But it is also called Gendang Lima Sidalinen, Ranggutna 10-2.
Oh, 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 oh Farewell Gendang Telu. Sedalenan consists of three instruments which are played together, which consists of kulchapi or long neck lute as a melody, keteng keteng as a ideal chordophone or tube later, as rhythmically, and mangkuk bentang as an idiophone as a tempo. In Kyaros culture, people mention musician as Sir Jabaten, meaning on duty. Sir Jabaten consists of players of saruni, gendang singanaki, gendang singinduni, gendang penganak, and gong. Each instrument player in Karo traditional ethno scenes has a name. Take for example, saruni player is called panaruni, gendang or singanaki and singinduni player is called pangguk, and penganak player is called simalu penganak, and gong player is called simalugong, and also mangkuk michiho player is called simalu mangkuk michiho. Gendang Karo performance is usually for dancing, singing, and also traditional rituals. Gendang Karo art is similar with Japanese folk art. Its performance is simple and straightforward, and its tempo or patterns are not complicated and static. But to blow saruni needs certain technique. This traditional instrument is always used to accompany dance, song, as well as traditional rituals. So, Gendang Karo is complete if there are saruni, gendang si ngindungi, gendang singanaki, penganak, and gong to accompany a ceremony or party. Well, listen, that was a glimpse of Gendang Karo. And to conclude the rhythm of the Indonesian archipelago for today, let's listen to Gendang. I'm Nusa Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
Decisions on regional elections disputes are final and impartial. Minister of Transportation and Minister of Home Affairs coordinate team for arranging aid transportation to local governments. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. The Indonesian Constitutional Court ensures decision on regional elections disputes are final and impartial. It was stated by the head of Public Relations and Protocol Bureau of the Indonesia Constitutional Court, Pan Muhammad Faiz, during an interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Andi Romdoni has the details.
The Indonesian Constitutional Court has emphasized that its decision on regional election disputes are final and impartial. Head of Public Relations and Protocol Bureau of the Indonesia Constitutional Court, Pan Muhammad Faiz, explained that the court's rulings are binding under the law. He assured that all cases are examined fairly and without bias. During an interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday, he highlighted key measures to ensure impartiality, including transparency, open hearings, dividing judges to avoid conflicts of interest, and the role of the Honorary Counsel in overseeing the process.
So the entire election dispute resolution process is continuously monitored by the Honorary Counsel. This body has a function to investigate any reports or allegation of judicial bias to ensure that all judges remain impartial. So with this mechanism in place, the court ensured the public that regional election disputes are handled fairly and without bias.
Meanwhile, the chairman of the Association of Constitutional and Administrative Law Lecturers in Indonesia, Himawan S. Tubagio, hopes that the Indonesian government can implement different systems for regional head elections in each area. He explained that with a high electoral rate, Indonesia is one of the countries with a high level of complexity in organizing regional elections.
I think we should spirited system according to the situation of local government, the culture, the budgeting for the election, and the situation of population of local footer. I think it is safer, better. We have three things that we can combine the system of election in local governments.
The Indonesian Constitutional Court has registered more than 300 cases of regional head election results disputes for 2024, following the review of over 300 applications. Some were submitted online, while others were filed directly at the court's Jakarta office. Andi Romdoni reporting.
Minister of Transportation Dudi Purwagandi, together with Minister of Home Affairs Muhammad Tito Karnavian, coordinated the 2025 Aid Transportation Arrangement Scheme on Monday to regional governments so that it can run safely and smoothly. The Minister of Transportation hopes to support from the regional governments, such as providing feeder transportation from the arrival points of free homecoming participants, considering the WFA policies or work from anywhere policies, providing rest area to monitoring and anticipating areas prone